Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
From our gospel reading today, the two disciples who had walked the road to Emmaus rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is our text. Seven miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, the road that these two men walked twice that day. These two men were disciples of Jesus. And like all disciples of Jesus, like you, they were following him. Now we know as disciples of Jesus, to follow him means to follow his teachings, and they certainly did that. But these two also followed Jesus with their feet. They were there with him in first century Palestine. Only a week before this road to Emmaus, they had literally followed Jesus, walking behind him when he entered into Jerusalem on a path of palm branches and coats. They followed Jesus. These two disciples had probably been with Jesus for a year, 2 years, maybe even close to 3 years. But when they followed Jesus into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, they discovered that the journey they were on with Jesus came to a sudden and unexpected end. In the span of a single day, Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. And so it seemed to these two disciples, having followed Jesus for multiple years, that the path they'd followed led finally to a tomb. It led to the tomb. That wasn't where they expected to go. That was the last place they hoped to follow Jesus, but it's where Jesus had gone. And so picture yourself in the shoes of these two disciples, following Jesus into Jerusalem on a road that appeared to be a dead end. They see Jesus laid into the tomb, and now where do they go? Now where does the path lead? They have no clear direction. Life goes on, but to these two disciples, it looked to them like their journey with Jesus was clearly over. It had come to an end. Or was it over? These two disciples had an awful lot to talk about while they walked to Emmaus. It was Sunday afternoon. It was the first day of the week. It was the third day since Jesus' crucifixion. And just that morning, some women had gone to the tomb and they found it empty. Empty, where the body had been laid. They even said that a couple of angels had appeared to them and told them that Jesus was among the living and not among the dead, that he had risen. The apostles thought this was an idle tale. They couldn't make sense of it. They didn't believe them. Even Peter went to the tomb. He found the tomb empty, like they said, but he didn't see any angels. So he returned home, marveling at what had happened. These two disciples are talking about all of these things while they walk. It's all very confusing. They're trying to sort it out. They have no idea what it all means, but it gives them plenty to discuss. And it's while they're on the road to Emmaus, while they're in the middle of this discussion, while they're pulling on the threads and puzzling out what it must mean, what they had seen and heard, that a third person joins them. A third person becomes their companion on the way. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This guy walks up and joins them on the way. They have no idea who this stranger is. And as they're talking, they're shocked to learn how little he knows about the things that have happened over the past week in Jerusalem. Here's a man who doesn't seem to know anything about Jesus and what's gone on. And so it's a prime opportunity for them to confess their faith. What an opportunity to tell someone who's never heard about Jesus. And so they do. Well, sort of. Cleopas explains, and he tells this man about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a man who was a prophet. He was mighty in deed. He was mighty in word before God and all the people. He tells about the arrest, about the trial, about the crucifixion. He even mentions what he knows from Easter Sunday morning, from the Easter story. And then he says, "But we had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel." Can you hear the disappointment in those words? We had hoped that was who he would be, but then he didn't deliver. Then our hope ended up in a tomb, ended up dead and buried. The cross was a major disappointment. Crosses usually are a major disappointment. Whatever crosses you've had in your life, I would venture to guess they brought disappointment to you as well. These two disciples couldn't see how Jesus' death and burial would do them any good. They thought that it led nowhere. They thought that it led to a dead end, to the grave. Maybe this sounds a little bit familiar to us as Christians. Having been baptized, having been taught the faith, you too are disciples of Jesus. And you're on a journey as well. You're not headed from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but you're going from your baptism through life, the life of faith with Christ, and finally to death with him. It's not an easy journey. Like those disciples, you've heard that the tomb is empty. You've heard that Jesus lives. But it can be hard to believe. You don't see Jesus with your own eyes. And it's also not always clear where he may be leading you. It's not always clear what he may be doing in your life. This is the reality for us, like it was for them. Being a Christian can be a difficult thing. Remaining a Christian can be a challenge. And it seems to me that it's going to be more difficult for our children and our grandchildren than it was for you or your parents or your grandparents. We're in a time, and headed perhaps more deeply into a time, when it may be difficult for us Christians to have the freedom we desire to believe and live what we do. We may be mocked or treated poorly for following Jesus. We may even suffer persecution. Do you remember the questions that are asked when someone is confirmed in their faith? Those questions don't shy away from this challenge, from living as a Christian through disappointments and trials. Do you intend to remain disciples even to death? You are asked. Are you willing to suffer all for being a Christian? This is the challenge that we face already. And there may be times in our life of faith, in our following Jesus, when your Lord seems like a disappointment to you. There may be times when it seems like he has failed you or abandoned you. Life with Jesus may not turn out exactly like you hope or expect. Perhaps a family member or a friend suffers a terrible illness or dies. Maybe you didn't get that job you were hoping for, or maybe you lost the one you had. Maybe the plans you've made for yourself, your education, your family life, your retirement, don't happen quite the way that you want. In those times, you'll be tempted to think that Jesus' crucifixion and empty tomb are weak and powerless. You'll be tempted to think that life with Jesus following him ends in disappointment and death. Just like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, you might find yourself having conversations about Jesus, confessing not only who Jesus is and what he has done, but also confessing how disappointed you are with him and where he has let your life go. So how does Jesus respond to these two disciples? How does he react to their disappointment and their sorrow? He speaks to them. "Oh, foolish ones," he says, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And how true of us as well. Wasn't it necessary, Jesus says, that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What does Jesus do? He takes them back. He takes them back into the scriptures. He takes them back to the basics of the faith. He knows their doubt and unbelief. He knows your doubt and unbelief. He knew that their hearts were weighed down with sin. He knew that they felt separated from God, alienated from him. We don't naturally believe the promises. And even when we do believe, we find it a struggle to hold on to the promises when our crosses come, when we find disappointments and failures in our own lives. So they needed to hear it again and again, and they needed to relearn the scriptures with Jesus at the center. They needed to hear how the scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, are all about Jesus, every page about Jesus. And this is what we need to hear as well. Once isn't enough to carry you through life. I'm always shocked when someone says to me, when I talk to someone who claims to be a Christian but doesn't go to church anywhere, and they say, well, I don't need the church to be a Christian. And my immediate response, at least in my head, is this, to think, well, that's great for you, but I know myself too well. It wouldn't be enough for me. I need Jesus more than once. I need him again and again. And there's no such thing as a graduation from the Christian faith. The Christian faith is something we either live in or we forsake. Will you continue to follow Jesus by holding his word sacred? Will you continue to follow Jesus by gladly hearing his word and learning it, even when you are frustrated and disappointed, and even when the path that follows Jesus looks like it leads to the tomb? When these two disciples and Jesus reached the village, he acted like he was going to keep going. But they urged him, they asked him, they said, stay with us, Lord, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Stay with us, Lord. It's their prayer, and it's our prayer as well. Stay with us, Lord. And what does he do? He stays with them. He answers their prayer. He joins them. He even sits at the table with them. And while they're at the table, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they saw that it was Jesus who had been with them the entire way. It was Jesus who walked with them on that sad and lonely road. It was Jesus who was there even in the middle of their disappointment and their sorrow. And then he vanished from their sight. Not from their presence, but from their sight. Because he would stay with them. Even when they can't see him, he will be with them. And he will be with you. Jesus was not the guest at this meal. He was the host. And he opened their eyes to recognize him, to show them that his journey didn't end at the tomb, that it never ends at the tomb, but it continued with the resurrection. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who was crucified. The Lord and Christ who lives and reigns even now. And he remains with his disciples even when they don't see him. He remains with you. He remains with you as your true and faithful Lord. And so it was that these two disciples would continue to follow Jesus. They were born again now. Born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, to a living and abiding hope. I'm sure it wasn't the last time that these two disciples met disappointment or frustration or sorrow in their life, but now they knew that wherever their path led in this life, Jesus would be with them and that he had made a path through this life into the life of the world to come. But now, how would they follow Jesus? They couldn't see him with their eyes. They can't walk in his steps after him. How do they follow Jesus? Their feet take them to the places where Jesus has promised to be. Their feet lead them to the scriptures and to the holy communion of Jesus. Because here Jesus remains with us, with his church. And this is the pattern that we follow, the pattern that the church has followed ever since Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus reveals himself today to you in his holy word and in this precious sacrament. This is repeated on the first day of every week as we hear the scriptures and as we receive the Holy Communion. We need what those disappointed disciples on the road to Emmaus needed. We need the crucified and risen Jesus to be with us on his journey, on this journey. We need his word. We need the bread that he breaks and gives to us as his own body and blood. And we have it. Dear friends, we have it. Jesus is with us always. He is with us even to the end of the age. He is with us on the sad and lonely road when we hang our heads in disappointment. And he is with us in that moment when our eyes are opened and we see with joy that he is alive and risen. Jesus makes himself known to us today in this service. First, he uses the word of God to preach himself as the crucified and risen Lord to our foolish and slow to believe hearts. And then he hosts us at a meal in which he feeds us with his own body and blood. And this is how he goes with us on our journey from baptism to death. This is how he goes with us on the journey that goes through crosses and frustrations and disappointments. And this is how he leads us through death into the life that never ends, into the feast that goes on forever, past the grave, into life eternal. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a companion on your life's journey. You have the best company of all. You have a faithful guide, and you have a fearless leader. You have your Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, and who will go with you every step of the way. Amen. In his name, amen.